You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill. This is Coogan Cassis for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. Put your watch down, Thomas. Okay, Thomas,
Tony. 15 seconds past, so we know what we've got, Coogs. You know I'm trying to get home safe to the wife and kids, you know the drill.
Clearly.
Yes, literally.
You just don't want to be in the limelight,
no,
do you?
No, mate, I don't need to be on a camera, I don't want to see the light.
I have pestered you tonight, to be fair.
Yes, so I just want to get this one done quickly.
Just a summary of a massive anti-climax between Warrington and Lara.
Mate, that was warming up to be some fight. The exchange of left hooks in that second round and the clash of biceps on each other. It literally was a fight-ending punch on if either one of them landed. I'm not going to lie, I didn't like the way it was looking. He landed a few heavy shots, Maurizio Lara, and Josh was only too willing to exchange and engage with him, which I didn't like the look of, especially so early in the fight, but nothing shook him like previously before. As I said before, there was no shock factor coming in this time. He knew exactly what he was in with. Let's not be dampened too much on it. Let's give all the attention to Maxi Hughes for that unbelievable win against Strafford. Unbelievable. Strafford shown that if you want to stand and trade with him, he'll just wipe you out. But when you want to box him and use angles and movements and put a decent game plan into play, he's a bit lost, and that is all down to how Maxi Hughes boxed tonight. So massive credit to Maxi Hughes. I didn't see that coming. No one predicted that. Everyone was just seeing smoke after what happened to Tennyson, and everyone got carried away, including myself with Strafford. But listen, if anyone wants to come and fight Strafford head on, I'll guarantee you the same will happen to them, what happened to Tennyson. So fair play to him, really good. Katie Taylor, consummate professional once again, the darling of Irish sport. I was going to say Irish boxing, Irish sport. She's just phenomenal. What else? There's been so many on. Conor Benn tonight, yes, gets rounds that we wanted him to get, but it was all at his own pace. Granados didn't do what he said he was going to do. He basically didn't come out of his shell after round three. He got buzzed in round one and two, and thought, I can't afford to get into an exchange with this boy. I need to stay away. And he done that quite well, to be fair. Conor Benn has beaten far more impressively than Adrian Broner did, far more impressively than Showtime Sean Porter, probably even. He just dominated every single round. I don't know what a judge was watching when he gave Adam losing three rounds. I mean, I couldn't have him losing even one. I thought he was just better in every...
Well, Granados believes he won the fight. Generally he does, because I've had Ben and Granados having an argument in front of me on camera saying he believes he won the fight. Yeah, he was actually arguing with Conor Benn over it. Yeah, genuinely.
Really messing. Oh, my Lord. What's the world come to? That was as clear cut as you could possibly get. He just outworked him, outpunched him, outspeeded him. There was nothing in any department that he won. It's only when it got to round eight did he actually even have a go at throwing more than three punches in one combination. So that's madness. Some other fights to assess. Ebony Bridges was in a really tough
Price.
One.
Hopi
Price was massively impressive tonight. Just massive. And you know what impressed me the most, Coogan? He got cut. I know he's not going to want to hear that, but he got cut and how calm he was when he dealt with it. So made up for him. He's got an amazing coach and an amazing manager in Dave Caldwell. You know, I just think he's fantastic. And he's showing that prospects don't need to be facing, you know, a guy who's 24 and two, you know, 20, and I mean 24 losses and two wins. They can be facing, that's Hopi Price's second fight. Sorry, that's Hopi Price's sixth fight. In his previous fight, when he was 4-0, he faced someone 5-0. Now that he's 5-0, he faces someone who's 16-1. It's very rare you see prospects like that who are taking them kind of gambles. So very well done to him and his coach. He will progress quickly, and long may it continue. You know, the cut will take a bit of time to heal, but ultimately he's gained an awful lot of experience by that tonight.
Last one before you go. Can you just give me a summary of this Oscar Valdez situation, because it seems really messed up?
Do you want a genuine summary?
Yes.
It's a fucking disgrace that the fight's going ahead, if it does go ahead. And what the fuck's going to go on if that boy gets hurt? Someone tell me. If Robson Conceição gets hurt, people are going to jail. They've got to go to jail. That's me summary of it all. Do not let this fight happen. That athletic commission who is I can't even pronounce the name of it. It's like the Wachutu tribe in the Ace Ventura. Is it that one? Some kind of crazy. I don't know the name of it. It's like, I can't remember. I just remember that tribe out of Ace Ventura, but it's like some crazy name anyway. I'm not even sure it's a place. So they've approved this fight when a man has had an A and a B sample come in. A B sample as well come in, and they're both reading the same thing. Bear in mind, that's a huge masking agent as well. So I'm just going off reading Victor Conte's words. I can't believe I just said that, but yeah, I did read his words and what he said. It's insane, mate. It's insane. And if Robson Conte Sal gets hit in that fight, Coogan, right, that could be the end of boxing. That's how bad this boxing could be forced underground. That is an illegal act. Someone is going in with an unfair advantage. Simple as that.
Can you just talk to me quickly about Varda and WADA not singing off the same hymn sheet, how this is a hindrance in boxing? Because it seems...
I don't genuinely know the answer to it, Coogan, if I'm being totally honest. What I will say is I do think Varda are the best organisation out of all of them, and they're the only ones who come out and go, when a fighter fails, no matter how big the fighter is, they just go, he's failed. They just go, he's failed. There's no debating, there's no nothing, they just go, he's failed. Whereas these other organisations like UCAD, like WADA, go, well, we think he could have failed.
In competition, out of competition.
Yeah, they failed or he didn't. Just come out and say it. And there's no middle ground, there's no grey area with WADA. They just say, you failed, mate. And we don't give a shit to us then, and we'll just show you the fail. but UCAD come out and go, he said he's going to sue us. Has he failed or hasn't he? But he said he's going to sue us and do us for defamation and whatever. So what? If he's failed, he's failed. So I just think they're not worth a balloon. And I'm someone who's passed over 100 drug tests in my career. Over 100. I've been to 100 times I've been tested, amateur and professional. I was consistently tested by UCAD throughout my career. Testers were brilliant, by the way. Would turn up at my house at 4 o'clock in the morning on numerous occasions, wake me little babies up, and my wife, who I was trying to get home safe to, would numerously wake them up. But the testers aren't the problem here, the organisations are, and they all need to just round up as one and come under Varda's rules. Simple as that for me. Varda, UCAD, Varda, all of these different ones, just go under Varda's rules. If you failed, bam. Get the A and the B sample in. Make sure both are reading the correct same thing. Once then both samples are in and read the same thing, there you go. We've got a cheat on our hands. I'm not saying that. It's a little bit different when someone has been proven to take an over-the-counter thing, like a nasal spray, you know what I mean? I'm not condoning it, but a nasal spray is completely different to a steroid. It really is. And various other masking agents. So and also look at the rate this is going on, and in the places that it's going on, and start doing something about it. It's going up in numbers in certain places, and that needs to be addressed and looked at. So, you know, it's something that needs to be done. We've got a problem in our own country, from a certain complex, and we've got a problem in other places in other complexes. So, that's now gone to 6 minutes, and thank you very much, Mr. Cassius. It's been a pleasure.
It's actually nearing 9 minutes.
Always accurate. Amazing. Always a pleasure.
You always give a little bit extra, don't you?
Just trying to get home safe to wife and kids, Coogan.
Tony Belly, thank you very much to Eiffel TV. We will see you next at AJ Usyk.
I don't know. Ask the big man. He knows where
we're working on.
He's always working. He never stops working.
I don't know, but Tony must have been on good form tonight, because I just got a text from my old man.
Is he trending?
My old man said that was going to be a great fight. Shame. But we'll give you another night with Josh and maybe a third fight. By the way, Tony Bellew is excellent.
Ooh. And listen, you don't get more honest a man than him. He would literally say, get Bellew off. Yeah, he'd just say, get Bellew off the TV, yeah, shite. Yeah. So I'm happy with that.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.